How's Dad? Starring Nicole and Jemmy and Maria QK.
Hey everyone, welcome to Mother Knows Death. Let's get into the story of the week.
So a couple weeks ago, we reported about these women that brought their roommate through a drive-through ATM or a drive-through at the bank, right? And a lot of you hadn't heard of that before, so I didn't know that was something unique to America. But basically, something even worse has happened in Brazil. This woman brought who she was referring to as her uncle to a bank in Brazil, and she's seen in the bank moving this guy's head around, his hand. She's trying to get him to co-sign for a loan for $3,400. And you know what? It turns out this guy's dead. Like, dead, Halloween prop looking dead. Everybody at the bank's like, what the fuck is going on right now? What is happening with this guy? You know, the bank tellers were like, he doesn't really look that good. Are you sure he's okay? And she's like, oh, uncle, do you want to go back to the hospital? No, he didn't want to go back to the hospital because he had been dead for several hours before their visit to the bank.
So when you look at this video of this guy, he's so floppy and he can't hold his head up. Obviously, he's dead. And she keeps propping him like he's some kind of a mannequin or something. And he's so freshly dead that he hasn't even gone into rigor mortis yet. So normally after you die, within a couple hours, you could see kind of in his face that his jaw is a little bit opened and it's stiff and it doesn't look like his mouth can really close properly. And that's where you first see rigor, but that could happen within a couple hours after death. But normally it takes about 6 to 8 hours for the body to start stiffening after death. And that's because the muscle cells release energy. So just think about sitting there as hard as you can and just flexing every single muscle in your body. The body gets very stiff. And clearly, he's not even stiff yet. So he's been dead for, I would say, under 6 hours at this point. And I actually sent the video to one of my friends who's Brazilian to translate it. And she said that the people at the bank were saying, are you sure he's okay? His color isn't okay. And it's just so outrageous that this lady tried to pull this off. The guy looks like he had some kind of underlying health condition. So she was probably expecting him to die and maybe he died before she was able to take his money out.
I mean, when I first saw this video, I didn't even think it was real. He looks like one of those, you know, when you go to the Halloween store and they have those like figurine or mannequins for your front lawn for sale, the robots. He looked like one of those. I'm like, this doesn't even look real. And all of a sudden, you know, the poor people at this bank, you know, that are just trying to like run an errand. And then this crazy lady like wheels in this guy that's dead in a wheelchair flopping around his arm like he's alive. It's just absolutely horrible. So the bank tellers ended up calling the cops because they were like, clearly something is not right here. She's been arrested. They're investigating if she was even his niece because she kept referring to him as uncle. And it is absolutely insane.
What a wild story.
Absolutely.
All right, so celebrity news. The two celebrities we're talking about today are, well, I guess one of them can be considered a real celebrity. They're both high profile people, you would say. But I believe the first one we're talking about was featured on a lot of documentaries and stuff.
Yeah, so, like yeah, they're not the.
I think they deserve the celebrity title,
of course. And they're not the typical, you know, Hollywood people we think of. These are definitely household names for some people. So the world's oldest conjoined twins have died at the age of 62. So they were born in Pennsylvania in September of 1961, and they were conjoined at the head facing opposite directions. So tell everybody about their connection.
So their name is Lori and George Chappelle. And you may be wondering at first, how can a female and male be conjoined when they must be identical twins? And that is because George, what is transgender? So that clears that up for anyone that's confused about that. They have a condition that's known as craniopagus twin, conjoined twins, and it's super rare. It's only 2 to 6% of all conjoined twins even have this kind of a connection. And it's so rare that it only happens in every one out of 2.5 million births. So that's how rare this is. And like Maria said, they're both connected at the head, but they're not facing in the same direction. So, of course, everybody has the same kind of questions that that everybody has when we're talking about this kind of thing is, how do they go to the bathroom? How do they live? How do they have a job? All these types of questions. And in an interview earlier on in their life, they did talk about, because Lori, so I didn't really describe either what kind of physiological problems they have, but Lori is of average stature, and then George is smaller stature because George was born with a condition known as spina bifida, which is a problem when the fetus is developing with the spinal cord and the vertebral column. So Lori walks around kind of upright with her head tilted to the side, and George is attached to her head but has to wheel around on this stool slash cart because he's so much smaller than she is. So she has to kind of push George around on this cart. And she was interviewed earlier talking about how they had sex with other partners, you know, being connected and everything. And Lori has made statements like, just because I'm a conjoined twin doesn't mean that I don't want to be a woman in a romantic relationship. And she said that since George was facing the opposite direction, that George would just read a book while she was having sex with her boyfriend. So I thought that that was really interesting.
Yeah, it is. And I was also reading that they each have their own set of hobbies they do. And they said when that person's engaged in their hobby or extracurricular activity, the other twin will just kind of zone out and let them do their thing. So it's really cool that with this condition, they've been able to, you know, still have some privacy, you know, doing things that they want to do.
Yeah, they. I think Lori is a bowling champion, and then George was like an award-winning country music singer. So it is. It's very cool, and they've been asked several times if they wanted to be tried to do a surgery where they got disconnected from each other, and they would just say like, "No, why fix what's not broken?" And it's pretty cool. They shared 30% of their brain together, so I don't know. Because they were born in the 60s, so I don't know if that was like, no, we can't do this, this isn't happening, or I'm assuming that Lori, just because she seemed to have more of the strength of the two, that's probably why they didn't do it, because they wouldn't want to sacrifice one's life over the other.
Yeah, definitely. It's definitely interesting, okay. Though.
All right, so the next celebrity that we're talking about became a celebrity because of this super high profile case. You want to get started on that?
Yeah. So 30 years ago, this guy, John Wayne Bobbitt, is famous because his wife cut off of his penis and threw it out of the window. So he's, you know, he was quite controversial at the time because there was accusations of sexual assault, and that's why she did it. And they just had a really abusive relationship, and they had really sensational trials. And, you know, it just kind of blew up. And doctors were able to reattach his penis, and then he went on to have a somewhat lucrative porn career making movies called Frankenpenis. So, you know, this guy just, he ended up being a mess. He had domestic violence situations with other girlfriends, and it continued from there. Anyway, he's relevant again in the news because he has now lost more body parts. He has had his toes cut off, so explain why that's happening.
So we covered John Wayne Bobbitt for Valentine's Day because we thought to make the mood romantic in the gross room, we did a high-profile dissection on this guy. And let me just tell you some details about the original case because it's so crazy. So she, as Maria said, she cut off her husband's penis because she was in a fit of rage, and she took it and drove down the street and threw it out the window into a field, right? So they call the cops and everything, and the cops show up and they find the penis that's like on the side of the road in dirt and everything. And none of the cops will touch the penis. Okay. They were like, we're not picking it up. We're not touching it. Ew, ew, ew. And then finally somebody got a pair of gloves and picked it up, and they walked over to 7-Eleven and got a hot dog wrapper and put it in a hot dog wrapper and then put it on ice and then brought it to the hospital to get reattached. And this awesome surgeon, still after all that, the surgeon was able to reattach it, and this guy, John Bobbitt, filed bankruptcy, and that surgeon and the hospital never got paid, even though they were 100% responsible for him being able to have this career in porn. It's outrageous. So anyway, tell them about why he has this condition. Like, what was his previous history?
So he's saying in the 80s, he went to Camp Lejeune. I'm sure I'm sure people have seen these commercials. I don't know if they only air on the East Coast, but they are playing pretty regularly. And even my husband's like, oh shit, my dad went there for trainings.
One of the firemen went there too.
Yeah, so.
And actually had a medical issue related to it.
At the Marine Camp Lejeune, they had contaminated water. And he's saying that he was exposed to this water. And it basically gave him toxic peripheral polyneuropathy. Is that correct?
Yeah, I was like, don't try it. Toxic peripheral polyneuropathy.
Oh my God, I'm so dumb.
Well, so okay, so the toxic chemicals in the water, you're not dumb. It's just these, I can't pronounce normal words and you can pronounce these words, or I can pronounce these words, so it works out. Anyway, so yeah, he was having exposures to a toxic chemical. So this could happen that, so your peripheral nerves are the nerves that are on your arms and legs that come off of your spinal cord, right? They're peripheral. And what happens is that the toxins could cause them to have permanent damage, but it's called toxic because it's because of an exposure. So you could get it from medications and taking drugs and things like this, like things in the water, lead, things like that. And what happens is it causes a numbing, tingling, and people that have neuropathy are at an increased risk of getting like ulcers. And then these ulcers can eventually lead to amputations. And that's what happened in his case. So he had, what did you say? Like most of his toes cut off?
All of his toes cut off.
Yeah. So, I mean, that happens. And I mean, come on. It's just kind of crazy that the thing is that if you read the celebrity death dissection, this guy is kind of a douchebag. So I just don't feel bad for him.
Yeah. I mean, he had an extremely messy history and the trials were absolutely insane. And, you know, this poor lady, you know, everybody was looking at her as being a monster for cutting his dick off, but if you read about what she went through, then you might totally understand.
Yeah, exactly. And then when he did the porn, right, he was being a jerk to, like, it just continued that he was abusing women, right?
Yeah.
So, okay. On to the next, freak accidents.
So we have a really sad update about the story we talked about a couple weeks about the boy who was thought to have died from an allergic reaction to strawberries that he received at a school fundraiser. So it turns out that after his death, the police searched his home and found drugs and illegally owned guns by the boy's stepfather. And it turns out that the boy actually died from a fentanyl overdose.
Yeah, I was kind of shocked when I read this, but also it completely made sense because if you remember when we were talking about it, the kid had developed a rash and they brought the kid to the hospital and they gave him Benadryl and he was released right away and wasn't showing any signs of having anaphylaxis. And then he went home several hours before bed, then went to bed and didn't wake up. And it's just not the typical picture of what would happen if someone was having even a delayed reaction. It was too long of a time period. So it just, the whole thing seemed weird, but that was all we knew at the time. So that's, I mean, they said that he was had an allergic reaction to strawberry. So, you know, we just went with it. But now that they're saying that he had a fentanyl overdose, it's just incredibly sad. And I hope they really did think he was having an allergic reaction and they didn't just make up that story to cover their ass. But they didn't even say how this individual that was living in the house was related to him.
It was his stepfather.
Okay.
So the stepfather has been charged with manslaughter as well as drug trafficking and illegal gun possession. They did end up testing the strawberries he ate and found they were safe for consumption. So I guess they had to wait for toxicology to come back and mix with the findings at the house.
And I hope that didn't affect any businesses. Well, it was like a strawberry fest or something, right?
He got them at a school fundraiser. So they went to the farm. They talked to them. They did because, you know, they wanted to make sure it wasn't a problem on a greater scale, yeah. But there was ever thought that it was something from the farm.
Okay. Like that would just be terrible if that was the case.
Yeah.
All right. Next story is something that almost happened to us.
All right. So first let me tell this story. So a 59-year-old woman was killed after being hit with her own car. So she pulled up to a residence. They didn't say necessarily it was her property. They said it was a private residence. So I'm going to assume it was hers. But she didn't put the car in park and then got out of the car. The car started rolling forward, hit a tree, and essentially pinned her between the car door and the driver's side of the car, killing her on the scene.
So this was last winter now, right? It was, all right, Well, whatever. We covered this case in the gross room of the boy in the box. That was this boy that was found dead in a box in Philadelphia years
ago. Yeah, this was 2020. This was December 2022. The incident happened with you.
Yeah. So we decided, since we were covering it in the gross room, that Maria and I were just going to go visit. We were going to take a ride one day since it was right in Philadelphia. We took a visit to the site where they found his body. The reason that we did this is because they identified the kid that week when we went, or right around that
this
time.
This was a cold case for decades. For people that don't know about it, this was a cold case for decades. They didn't know who the boy was. They didn't know who killed him. And in 2022, they finally identified the victim. So we went to go visit the site of where his body was discovered.
Yeah, and we also were going to go to the cemetery where he was buried too that day. So we go to the site and we pull up, and I have an SUV, and I pull up, and it was cold out because it was in December, right? So I pull up and I just stop and put my foot on the brake, and Maria and I are sitting out there talking about, like, what are we going to do? Do you just want to take a picture? Are we going to take a video? Like, we're having this discussion. We were sitting out there for like, and there was a guy there visiting too. So we were sitting out there in the car for like a solid 20 minutes, and I just was there with my foot on the brake, right? And then I decided, okay, I'm going to get out of the car and do a video, right? So I didn't even realize that the car wasn't in park because I was on an incline and the car was stopped. It didn't roll or anything. And as soon as I got out of the car, Maria had already, you were out of the car, or you were just waiting in the car?
I was out of the car and we were taking a video and the car was running and you could hear it. So I said, go turn the car off. Because we could hear the car in the background of the video.
Yeah, so I go over to the car, I open the door, and I guess I turn the car off, and then it started rolling backwards.
Like, you opened the door, you leaned in and turned the key. You didn't physically get back in.
And then, no, I leaned over, and that's when it started rolling, halfway inside of the car.
We were on a hill. It started rolling. So you had to like jump in the car and turn. It was so dramatic.
I ran 500 miles an hour to jump in the car because I didn't care. Like, if my car crashed, whatever. I mean, I do care about it crashing, but I was more concerned that it was going to roll down a hill and like hit a person or hit another car or hurt somebody. So I had to run backwards as this car that weighs God knows what was rolling down the hill. And it scared the shit out of me so bad. I was so rattled. And my first thought, of course, my husband and my brother think that I'm a moron. This was all my fault, which I guess it is. But I was just like, why isn't there some kind of safety feature? Like, how could I turn off the car while it's still whatever happened?
It's certainly
it just was nuts.
A design flaw of the car, because it should not be in any like reverse or drive mode at all if the car is off. So my old car, for example, I had like the push button start, you know, and sometimes I would pull up in my driveway and have my foot on the brake. And if I hit the off button, it would automatically then put it in park. That's what your car should have done.
I just don't understand. Like, I'm sorry. I'm just going to say till my grave that I'm not wrong about that. I understand that, like, now if that ever happened, if I pulled up somewhere, I would just put the car in park right away. But it's just this, a safety feature that I personally think.
I just think.
And this is probably exactly the reason I wanted to talk about this story is because, and guess who I sent it to first? Gabe. Because I was like, listen, I'm not the only person that this happens to.
No.
It's like a serious problem. And me and Maria were wondering if she had the same kind of car as me. I don't know, but it was nuts.
I don't know, because even my new car, you know, you get used to the push button and it can, you know, you're pressing all these buttons. It gets confusing. It's not the same motion as, you know, pulling it back and turning the key.
That stuff also pisses me off with cars. Like, why do they have to change it every time on every car? Like, why can't it just be the typical old school one that you pull and you move? Because now, like, the one on my new car is like a button that I have to push to put it in park, and it always doesn't grab right away. Like, it's just all this. Oh, we have to make it different. It's just annoying.
I don't know. But my new car, I've even noticed when I've been in my driveway and I don't put it in park, but I try to hit it off, it sounds an alarm and is like the car is not in park. But my old car used to automatically put it in park.
That's what it should do, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think what happened with you, it's definitely, I was surprised that that happened because it was a newer car and that a newer car would have a design flaw like that. But obviously, this is a problem. And I think this is just such an innocent thing. You know, my new car, for example, has this thing. If I stop at a light and I take my foot off the brake, it won't move, right? So I think that's what happened with your car and with this woman's car is that you're parked and the car's not moving. So you assume it's in park and then you go to turn it off and then get out. And then that's when these accidents happen.
That was crazy. All right, let's talk about broken penises.
A 27-year-old from Tunisia apparently had an erection when he rolled over in bed and fractured his penis in two different spots.
So this is common. I don't really necessarily think this is newsworthy because this happens to people a lot. I even have a case of it in my book, actually. But what happens is the penis has these two... There's two tubes or cylindrical empty spaces in the penis that are filled with this tissue called the corpus cavernosum, right? And it's like a sponge and it's in there. It's there all the time. And then when a man gets an erection, the blood rushes to the penis and then fills up inside of these sponges. And that's what makes it hard. Each one of these sponges has this thick coating around it, which is called the tunica albuginea. And if that coating somehow breaks, then blood could go from underneath, from outside of those cylindrical spongy areas and can go underneath of the skin of the penis. And it's called, they said it in the article too, they called that an eggplant deformity because the patient comes in and their penis looks like an eggplant. It's like big and swollen and purple. And one of the things that all of these patients that have this broken penis or a fractured penis, because you can't really fracture the penis, it doesn't have a bone in it. This is just breaking of that tunica albuginea. But they all say that these people hear like an audible snap when it happens.
He also didn't get treatment for 36 hours.
Well, that's the thing. So if this ever happens to you, anyone that's listening, you want to call 911 or go to the hospital right away because it's considered a medical emergency. You could actually like have to get your penis amputated because of this. And okay, you might think that that might not happen to you, but it happens because the penis is like a rigid and then it hits, it's like a blunt trauma injury, right? So the most common time that this happens is when a man is having sex with a woman with the reverse cowgirl position. And she like lands on top of the penis and it could snap.
Oh my God.
Like that's, yeah. And that's the most common reason, but it could happen for a lot of other things too. It's just like hitting a brick wall.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk about this next story that I'm a little confused about. So a 38-year-old bride was dancing near a pool at her wedding when she accidentally fell. And it's not really clear what happened after she fell. Did she drown? Did she hit her head? What? But all the other partygoers said they tried to help her, but before they knew it, she was going into cardiac arrest and died.
They said that she didn't know how to swim, so I'm assuming that she drowned. And I don't know how that happened so fast if there was a bunch of witnesses that jumped in right away and got her. The whole thing just sounds, there's not a lot of details about it, but it's like, oh, she posted a picture of her signing some kind of marriage certificate. And then all of a sudden, she's dead a couple hours later. Like,
yeah, like, did she overdose? Was she poisoned? Like, what made her fall? I'm a klutz. I could very easily lose my balance, but.
I mean, people drink at weddings, and there's a chance. I mean, maybe everyone was drunk, and maybe people didn't realize that she didn't know how to swim, and they were kind of, like, pointing and laughing, and then all of a sudden, they were like, oh, shit, she's having a problem.
But how long does it take to drown?
Well, it depends it just depends on everything. You get water into when you're breathing and stuff, it just depends. Because there's kids that could, you ever hear of like dry drowning when kids, they don't have like an actual episode where they're unconscious and they pass out and they're pulled out of the pool, but they've swallowed and inhaled a large quantity of water and they could actually end up getting really sick and having to go to the hospital or even dying like hours later after an incident like that. I'm always like, keep that in the back of my mind, you know, because we have a pool in the yard and there's kids and then you hear them, you know, when kids really get a gulp in, you could hear them coughing really hard and everything. I mean, it all depends. And if she was already drunk and her respiratory centers were like not as strong as they normally are, like that could be an issue. There's a lot of different things that could have happened.
Yeah, I want to try to keep
tabs. But she died right away, so...
Yeah, like, I want to try to keep tabs on this and just see if there's any updates, because I feel like there's just not a lot of information.
There's rarely updates, but that was what was good about that strawberry story, because, like, usually you don't hear anything else, you know?
No, and I was shocked by that was the cause. But, okay, this next one is absolutely crazy. So, a toll worker at the Jersey Shore woke up and had a really bad feeling that something horrible was going to happen. She said later she felt like she was going to get in some type of car accident, so she ended up calling out of work because she had this overwhelming feeling. And then hours later, a garbage truck drove into the toll that she worked at. How wild is this?
It is wild. And this happened near us in Jersey. She worked down the shore. And the craziest part of it is that she's getting like a lot of shit on social media because the guy that took her place, or whoever, the toll employee that took her place in the booth, actually got seriously hurt. And so did the person that was driving the truck that crashed into it. And people are like giving her shit because like he shouldn't have been there technically.
But she didn't know
it's
exactly
just like, it's
what
so
was
crazy.
Happen.
Exactly. And like, I think that she should be praising that she had this feeling. And it, so on the radio yesterday morning, I heard this story and I already knew that we were going to cover it, but then I thought it was cool. They were covering on the radio show in the morning and they had this hour having people like, did you ever have a premonition of something really bad happening? And these people were calling with like the craziest stories ever. It was so nuts. It was cool to hear that though, you know, like all these different experiences that people
it's
have
not like
with that.
She got a tip of a premeditated attack on the toll booth. She just was like, I have a bad feeling and I'm going to stay home.
Yeah, it's really interesting, right? Because you hear stories like that.
Yeah, I mean, you just never know. But this is definitely absolutely a crazy one. This episode is brought to you by CrimeCon.
Guys, I'm so relieved because for the past 2 weeks, I've been working my ass off to get this lecture done for CrimeCon, and it's going to be so much fun. I can't wait to present it to you guys.
Yeah, yesterday when you finished up, you know, I go in and make the presentation all pretty for everybody. So I was going through it, and I don't know if I'm going to necessarily be in the room for the lecture because we got a man down the fort elsewhere in the conference, but, you know, it's so good. You guys are really going to like it. I was looking all night trying to plan out my outfits. I'm so excited for it. I was really excited yesterday when emails started rolling in this week about special events they're starting to announce. So you guys definitely have to join their mailing list at crimecon.com/email. They send out emails with new guest speakers, new events, their special ticketed events within there. So they're a little more exclusive than the general access to the rest of the conference. And every week, they're continuing to roll out new people coming. So Dr. Bodden has officially been announced. I know you're very excited
yes.
about that.
Well, I can't wait to meet him. I'm so excited.
Oh, yeah. And then this week on our external exam, we had Cheryl McCollum, which was total fangirl moment. I could not.
Oh, yeah. I love her so much. I'm totally hanging out with her.
Mac was so awesome. Listening back to that interview, I was totally fangirling out. I loved everything you guys talked about. It was awesome. The same with Dr. Jason Bird. I have never
I love him
thought
too.
About entomology at all. And now I'm like, sorry, mom, I'm quitting my job and being an entomologist.
No, you're not.
So I think you guys are really going to love the CrimeCon because, you know, we're going to do our first ever live show. You have your awesome lecture that everybody's going to be into. And there's just going to be everybody in the true crime world you've ever wanted to experience and see in real life. So you should head over to their Instagram account at CrimeCon to check out all their latest announcements. They're also having Crime Cruise later this year. So you're definitely going to want to look into that and not miss that. So visit CrimeCon at Instagram or join their mailing list at crimecon.com/email.
Yay, can't wait to see you guys there. All right, let's get into violent crime.
I'll start this off with saying this is potentially connected to a TikTok challenge, so we know from the bat it's not a good idea, right? So a 22-year-old French woman and her boyfriend went to Northern Italy looking for ghosts as part of this ghost TikTok challenge that's been popular in France. So locals in the village said that they saw the two dressed as vampires asking around if there was any abandoned villages that they could camp in. And then shortly after, a hiker found the woman's bloodless body in a church in Italy.
Yeah, and The craziest part of this story was that they said her body was found near a bag of pink marshmallows.
I noticed that.
Like, what? How random.
Also, why is that relevant? Is there relevance to the pink marshmallow evidence?
I have no idea. I'm just like, why is this part of the story right now? What does this have to do with this?
So as you would assume, her boyfriend has been arrested immediately. It turns out they had a domestic violence case opened between the two of them. So there's that. It looked like she was stabbed in the neck with a camping knife and then was shot after she was dead, according to the medical examiner. And her body was completely drained of blood. So they're looking into if this was a potential, what they're calling a consensual murder, which is that she sacrificed her body as part of some ritual.
Yeah, we're going to have to look more into consensual murder because that's a new one for
me. Yeah, I've never heard that term in my life. I think we could just safely call it a sacrifice or whatever. There's no use of putting a prettier name on it.
It's interesting. We need to look it up, though, because this could be a potential, like, high-profile cases.
No, totally. I've never thought of something like this, and it reminded me of the Black Dahlia murder and how she was completely drained of blood, and it's just very eerie to think about.
Yeah, it is.
So this next one is about an astrology influencer named Danielle Johnson. She'd been really freaked out by the eclipse, posting to social media that it was, quote, the epitome of spiritual warfare, and that she was urging people to pick a side, whatever that meant. But that was the days leading up to the eclipse. And then the day of the eclipse, she killed herself and her family. So Danielle stabbed her partner to death before pushing her two children out of a moving vehicle and then speeding the car up to over 100 miles per hour into a tree and killing herself. So her 8-month-old baby died at the scene, but her 9-year-old survived with moderate injuries. So now his whole entire family's dead. Nobody really knows why she did it. The police don't necessarily think the eclipse is the reason she did it, but they're also looking into it because none of it makes sense.
Well, I mean, it sounds like that was bothering her, that she thought maybe I mean, clearly she probably has some kind of underlying mental health issue. Obviously she does, not clearly. Like, she has an underlying health issue, a mental health issue, possibly like schizophrenia or something like that, or some kind of psychosis that she believes things and she's disconnected from reality. I just feel terrible in this case. Like, imagine, because when you're 9, you remember your life.
Yeah.
So imagine all the events leading up to that. I don't know if that her partner was the kid's dad, I'm assuming, right?
That wasn't clarified.
Well,
but
I mean, she may have seen him killed in front. The kid may have seen his dad killed in front of him. And then whatever craziness was going in the car before she threw a baby out and then threw the 9-year-old out. I don't even know how you can do that driving on the highway with children. Like, how is that even possible if you're driving a car to even open a door and throw someone out?
Yeah, I don't really know.
Kind of crazy.
I don't know the logistics of it. Her front door was open and neighbors went in to check if everything was okay. And that's when they found the partner stabbed to death. And there was tarot cards and black feathers everywhere. I mean, I'm not an astrology influencer, enthusiast or whatever, but I don't know if that has any significance whatsoever, but it seems like she really was having a hard time, and it's really scary to think that something like an eclipse could potentially set somebody in a spiral to do something this horrible.
You really have to think a lot about, like, the police and EMS too that show up on these scenes. Like, imagine getting a phone call that from somebody, some witness that saw someone throwing children out the window or out the door on the highway. Like, what the fuck?
I can't even imagine.
And showing up to that scene.
You were saying last week you just saw a lady driving around smoking a cigarette in the car with the kid not buckled in, and you wanted to call the cops.
Oh my God, I was on Route 130 driving, and there was these two women in a minivan next to me, and I looked over and I got distracted because I saw a baby that was just like walking from the front of the car from the back of the car to the front of the car, all around, like on that highway, not in a seatbelt. Not, that child was so small, should have been in a car seat, not in a seatbelt, not in the back, just kind of being thrown around from person to person. And then they both were lit up something, cigarette, weed, whatever it was, and were smoking it in the car with the windows up. And I felt terrible even seeing a kid living in that situation. And they didn't even, I couldn't even call anybody because they didn't have a license plate. So,
yeah, I mean,
there you go.
It's really sad. So this next one is really horrendous. And I actually, when we were talking to Mom about this yesterday, I got it confused with another case. So back in 2019, this woman, Clarissa, and her daughter, Desiree, posted in a Facebook group that they were selling baby clothes and a stroller. A 19-year-old pregnant woman named Marion responded to the ad, and when she arrived to their house, they strangled her with a cable and cut the baby out of the wound. So I got this confused because there was an I Survived episode a long time ago about a woman who survived somebody trying to cut a baby out of her womb. How crazy is that?
It happens sometimes. It's completely nuts.
Yeah. So in this case, the woman did not survive, you know, getting strangled. So Clarissa then faked a pregnancy, called 911 the day of the murder, and said that she had delivered a baby boy who was struggling to breathe. So, of course, the cops get there, and this lady has absolutely no signs of being pregnant or just giving birth, so immediate red flags. They end up finding the mother of the child in a trash can on these people's property later. So, and then the baby ended up dying not even a full 2 months later, just because of how horrendous the entire process was getting the baby out. So now Clarissa has been sentenced to 50 years in prison. She's 51 years old, so hopefully she'll rot in hell. And then the daughter, Desiree, got 30 years after agreeing to testify against her mother.
I don't understand how these people, I mean, maybe they're in, what state was this?
I don't know what state it is, but the most disturbing thing for me is that the mother, Clarissa, was saying that she had lost her son and wanted to raise another child. And then it turns out that her daughter, Desiree, had given birth 6 months after the murder in prison. So they already had another baby coming into the family.
Did she not know she was pregnant while this happened?
I don't know. But regardless, like, what is going on in your head that you lure an innocent pregnant woman to buy baby clothes?
I don't understand how the sentence is so light, to be honest with you.
That's what I was thinking, too. 50 years is really, I understand 50 years could bring her to the end of her life. But why isn't it just a secure life in
prison?
But
even the other one, too. Like,
yeah, 30 years?
She was pretending to be pregnant. Like, this is, like, way premeditated. It's not like this just happened. Like, she was pretending to be pregnant and then had the baby. Like, this was months and months ahead of time. Then we're like, oh, we're going to lure this girl from Facebook. This is how we're going to get our girl. Like, they had this premeditated plan for months. I don't understand how the sentence is so light.
Yeah, and it's...
And it's so extra horrific.
I'm thinking the daughter must have not known she was pregnant, because why would her mother? So they didn't have, they had like kind of a similar age gap to us, like less than 20 years.
Yeah.
So I just found it weird that the mother would pretend the pregnancy being in her mid 40s and not the 30-year-old. I don't know. But then the 30-year-old was actually pregnant.
Well, no, because the 40-year-old said that she had had her tubes tied. She couldn't have a baby.
Yeah, but...
So maybe she didn't want to fake the pregnancy because there was documentation that she had a tubal ligation. I don't know.
But in what world do you think you're getting away with this?
What? I don't know. And just luring an innocent person. And what makes you think that you can deliver a baby and it's just going to be totally fine? Like, the fact that two people got together and even thought that this was any kind of a good idea is just astonishing to me. I mean, you kill a woman by stabbing her and she bleeds out, right? Well, guess what? Like, that's how the baby's getting oxygen from the mom. So they take the baby out, but the baby already had so much of a lack of oxygen that they had a severe brain injury that the baby was never going to survive. It was like kept alive on life support essentially for 2 months.
It's just really sick to think about this. And, you know, it's really scary to think that this is not a unique thing, that, you know, somebody has been lured into a situation and a totally crazy person has tried to cut a baby out of their pregnant belly. And it's really disturbing and scary to think about. And I don't think these people were
punished. We're going to cover this in the grosser more.
Yeah, I don't think these people were punished nearly enough.
No, because the one that got 30 years, I mean,
her boyfriend,
she's only...
Well, her boyfriend also got arrested for obstruction of justice and only got 4 years. He's already out.
What? Because he was like the one that stuck her body in the trash can?
Probably, like, or knew about it.
How do you just like do that to another human? It's just so sick.
I don't know. There's just this total disregard for human life anymore. And it's absolutely horrifying.
All right, let's talk about some medical news.
All right, on a lighter note, an interactive map has appeared online which pinpoints the sizes of penises across the globe. So the world data
I love how you say that so seriously. Like, there's a website that's tracking penis sizes from all over the world and breast sizes, too.
People might be interested. So
I am. I clicked on it right away because I wanted to see. And who comes in at number one? It's like, drum roll, please.
Ecuador. Hold on. I'm getting there. So you can visit worlddata.info to see up to 90 countries worth of data of the average penis size. So number one was Ecuador. Two, Cameroon. I'm definitely probably saying that wrong. Then Bolivia, Sudan, Haiti, Senegal, Gambia, Cuba, Netherlands, and Zambia. So those are the top 10. Ecuador was the largest, being 6.93 inches. Good for you, ladies. And then not good for us, ladies, was the U.S. landed in 60th place as 5.4 inches.
Wow.
And the U.K., even worse, 5.2 inches at 68th place.
So in this data, they put this average penis size, erect penis size, and then they put their height next to it. And in Ecuador, it's like the guy's like 5'4 or 5'5. That's so short for a guy, but they have the biggest penis. It's just, it's really interesting. Whereas with the women, the breast size in this thing, it was, who was it? Oh, Norway had the highest, the biggest boobs. And they did it by BMI. So that's how they determined who had the biggest boobs. Now, I don't know. See, it's a little bit different because, like, women could have breast implants so much more than men would have penis implants. So they don't really determine if it's, like, who has implants versus natural breast size. But I guess they're doing BMI to say, like, okay, these women have bigger breasts than they're this weight or whatever. It's interesting, right?
Yeah.
So big penis. How tall are you? Big boobs. How thin are you?
Definitely interesting data. Okay. Next, a 24-year-old woman has shared that she has two boyfriends that don't know about each other, but she justifies it because she has two vaginas and they each have their own vagina. So if you're in the gross room, we've talked about this before. I think it was actually the same week last year we talked about a porn star that said one of her that was born with a similar condition. One of her vaginas was for her porn career and one of them was for her husband. So we are just saying that was a very unique take, but go with it. But this woman was born. Tell everybody about what she was born with.
All right. So we talked about this, too, when we had this woman. Remember, this woman gave birth to like two different babies on two different days or something like that. So when you're a fetus, when you're a female fetus forming in utero, there's these two ducts called Müllerian ducts, and they come together, and eventually throughout the pregnancy, they, when you're a fetus, they form the uterus, the vagina, the cervix, all that stuff. Well, sometimes these two ducts, they're supposed to kind of fuse together to form one, so you would have normal anatomy, one uterus, one cervix, one vagina. But sometimes they don't fuse completely, and then you could have different variations depending on where it fused. So you could have, and in this case, this woman, you could have two uteri, two cervixes, two vaginas. They could both be fully functioning. So this woman has two periods. She has two cervixes. So when I was working at as a cytotechnologist, we would get pap smears and it would say cervix A and cervix B. It's not really a super common condition, but it definitely happens. And I've seen it both in surgical pathology and in cytology. So she has a fully formed two vaginal cavities. So she could, in theory, have sex in each one, and she could, in theory, get pregnant in each one by two different people.
Okay, so she's saying that she had a long-term relationship and it ended. So she first started dating this one guy, and they had a rule that one vagina was for him, and similar to the story I talked about earlier, another one was for her content creation on OnlyFans. So then 2 months ago, she started dating another guy, and she says that he uses her other vagina, so she doesn't consider it cheating. So therefore, she has not. I mean, I'm sure now that this article is out, they know about each other because her picture's all over it. But I can't agree with that rationale necessarily, because just because they each have their own vagina, they still have you.
Listen, guys don't care about that. Also, like, seriously, guys don't care about that. They're not like emotionally connected. They just care that another man's in their hole.
That's not true, first of all. And, you know, some people consider cheating like having emotional affairs, just talking to people. So I would blanket that there. I don't know. I can't agree with her rationale behind this.
I think that this is awesome. She's an OnlyFans content creator, and her Instagram account is called Two Pussy Princess, minus the U. I mean, come on. Like, she's capitalizing on that shit, and I love it. She's made almost $2 million in Australian money doing this OnlyFans.
Listen, I think what she's doing on OnlyFans is awesome, and she definitely is a branding genius. I saw her. She had, like, a beautifully embroidered tank top with her business name on it. I thought it was great branding, but you can't really sit there and be like, clearly she's not telling them about each other because she knows something's wrong and they're not going to be okay with it, right?
She's just doing it because we're talking about it right now. That's what people do.
I mean, she's killing it on OnlyFans. They said she'd made over $1 million, so.
She made, yeah, well, it's like $2 million in Australia.
Yeah, so.
But, okay.
Good for her.
All right, let's talk about some. It's like we're going to have to start having Parasite of the Week, apparently.
I know. We have two Parasite stories today. So a 28-year-old in Congo developed a mass in the corner of her eye, which turned out to be a parasite that could have come from crocodile meat.
So she has a condition known as ocular penostomiasis. And
I wasn't even trying to say that. I couldn't even say peripheral. So,
So she had a mass in her eye, and when they examined the mass, it was moving. So they cut it open, and they found a larva in there. And when they identified it, yeah, exactly, they figured out that it was this one that you commonly see that is in infected snakes. So they asked her, like, have you ever handled snakes? Do you ever eat snake meat? And she said no. But she said that she did eat crocodile meat. So in theory, the crocodile can carry this parasite, although they've never heard of an infection in a human with it. So they said that it's possible that maybe she's one of the first reported ones, or that it was at a meat market in the same place where there was infected snake meat, and that's how it somehow crossed over. But yeah, she had a parasite in her eye. There's a couple parasites you could get in your eye. Like, you could see the little worms swirling across the eyeball. Yeah. No. All right, and then this next one, talk about this next one.
So a woman had been suffering from severe seizures for over 10 years and got to the point where she tried to kill herself because she couldn't take it anymore. So after the suicide attempt, she went to the hospital, got a CT scan, and that's when doctors saw she was actually suffering from a parasitic infection.
Yeah, so she had something. So she had these cysts in her brain called neurocystic cirrhosis, and that is when you have basically pork worm larvae living in your, or pork tapeworm larvae living in your brain. We talked about this month ago, 52-year-old guy who was eating undercooked soft bacon. Yeah. Same thing, right? So what happens is that a person will eat undercooked pork, and then they get the tapeworm in their intestines, and then the person could poop the tapeworm out and the eggs get into their fecal material, and then, you know, like, someone has it on their hands, and then they cook food for someone and hand them a plate, and those eggs are still on their hands, and then the person eats, and then they get the eggs in their mouth. They ingest it, and then they go up into the brain where they could live. And it's actually, so in America, it's really rare, but it's one of the most common causes worldwide of epilepsy, actually.
Wow. That's, yeah, really interesting.
But that's worldwide. That's not, yeah, that's not here, but yeah.
Okay. So last medical story we have is about a German model and TV reality star who had the leg lengthening surgery. So we talked about this surgery before, I believe we did on the podcast, and I wrote an article about it a couple years ago, where people pay these astronomical fees to basically become taller. So this model was 5'6", which I think is kind of tall for a woman. I mean, I'm 5'4", which is the average height.
She probably wanted to be a model.
Well,
that's, and that's short for a model, probably.
Yeah, so she was 5'6", and then she spent over $165,000 to have her legs extended by 5.5 inches, so she was just over 6 feet tall. And now she's having long-term complications about it, and she's really pissed because she said her ex-boyfriend talked her into getting the surgery. She didn't even really want it in the first place, and she was happy with her body, and now she has all these residual problems from the surgery.
Yeah, I mean, listen, all of us have had like a shitty boyfriend that has put ideas in our head that probably shouldn't be there. But I mean, ultimately, it was her decision to go through with this. How much was it?
$165,000.
Yeah. And it's so painful. So what they do is they break the legs, and then they make this gap in between the bone, and then they just continue to spread the bone wider and wider. Then they let it heal, and then they spread it again, and they let it heal, and they spread it again, and let it heal. And then that's how they lengthen the bone. But when you do that, and listen, like, this surgery is totally worth it for people that have conditions that they're born, especially when one of their limbs is shorter than the other, because it significantly improves the quality of their life. But for cosmetic reasons, it's just kind of like really hardcore, in my opinion. She got a condition called periosteal inflammation. So that's the tissue surrounding the bone. And that part is painful. If you get like a bone biopsy, or if you a bone break, that part of the bone has a lot of nerve endings. And it's just, she's probably in like chronic pain, honestly. Like, and she can't fix that.
No.
She permanently ruined her body. And for what? It's worth the risk when you need it. If you were born with a deformity or something, or you had a bad accident or whatever. But I kind of don't see why they do it, honestly. It's very extreme cosmetic surgery. It's so extreme.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely don't understand it, but it could be the same for any plastic surgery. Like, it's up to you, and if that makes you feel better, then go for it. But you have to understand the risks at the same time.
All right, other death news.
So last week we reported that O.J. Simpson had died, and now, 30 years after the infamous murders, his Bronco is going to be going up for sale.
We saw it, remember?
Yeah, I actually have a picture of Ricky in front of it. So since 2016, it's been on loan at the Alcatraz East Crime Museum in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee, which is one of my favorite places to be in the world. So when we went on a family trip there a couple of years ago, we actually saw it, and it's sitting right next to Ted Bundy's Volkswagen Beetle. So that was really cool. But
yeah, it's weird. Like, we were just there on a trip, and then we were like, all right, what are we going to do today? Remember, it was Pop-Pop's birthday. So we were like, oh, why don't we check this place out? We just found this place. We didn't even know about it. And we went, and we were like, oh my God, this is so cool.
They have actually a really incredible collection. Something I thought was really cool that they had was the collar bomb. From the remember Netflix show? So, and the Erie pizza bombing. So that was really interesting.
What was that called? I forget.
I forget what it's called.
We watched it when we were in Dushore, remember?
Yeah, I totally forget what it's called. But they had really such an awesome collection of stuff. The cars were cool. At the time, they had a special exhibition of Ted Bundy stuff. So it was like letters he wrote in jail. I have a picture in front of the Beetle. I have a picture of Ricky in front of the Bronco. So I guess they've had it for the last 8 years, and the owner said that they know OJ just died, but they had been planning to sell it this year anyway because of the 30-year anniversary of the crime, and they don't want to wait too much longer because they don't know what value it's going to hold up over, you know, the next course of years. So basically they're hoping to get $1.5 million for it, which I'm sure somebody will pay for the cultural significance.
Which is outrageous, because that car, brand new, when it was bought, what year is it?
Oh, does it looks say? Like his ex-manager owns it.
Yeah.
I'm like, isn't that a conflict of interest?
There was a lot of interesting OJ news that came out this week too. Did you hear that whoever is the executor of his estate is also like his lawyer? At first was just like, yeah, I'm not giving the Goldmans any of this money. I'm going to, you know, like that. But then he came out and was like, well, if they need it, like, it was like some kind of apology that came out. The first one, I was just thinking, like, because apparently he owes them millions of dollars still from this wrongful death lawsuit that they won.
Well,
they should get it first before anybody gets it.
I think
it.
The judgment was $30 million and they haven't gotten anything, or not anything, but they've gotten nowhere near that. Because when he published his book, If I Did It, they went to court and they were granted the royalties from that book. And there's some law, I think, that you can't sell a book while you're in, well, I guess he wasn't in jail when it came out. I believe there's a law that you can't like write a book while you're in jail and capitalize off of your crime.
Oh, I don't know.
So he wasn't in jail though, so that's not really relevant to this. But anyway, because of the circumstances and everything, they were awarded the royalties, so they're getting royalties from that. But I'm sure that book was probably popped off right when it came out. I mean, I was in your belly when this was going on, so I don't really know much about it.
Oh, I know.
Because didn't you have a shirt that really pissed my mom off?
I got it as a joke at the boardwalk, and it said OJ not guilty. And I was, no, this was, I feel like, no, when this happened, this was before.
The trial was in 94.
The trial was like, but before that, I was like a punk teenager that was at the Wildwood Boardwalk, and I bought a t-shirt that said OJ not guilty, like as a joke. To just wear in front of my dad. And like when I went home, they were really pissed off at me. Like they like took it away and they were like, this isn't even like, don't even joke about this. It's not funny. And I was like, oh, ha, ha. Like,
well, you learned your lesson. So I don't know. I'm really curious who's going to end up with it. If it's going to be some celebrity or some billionaire or something, I'm very, very curious about who's going to end up having it. I feel like it's just the better,
it's in the best place it should be right now.
I was just going to say that too. Like, I feel like it should stay at the museum because the purpose of the museum is a true crime museum. So it's definitely in the best place it could be. And it's also kind of not fair that they're like, oh, you've had it for the last 8 years, but now we want money. So you're beat.
Yeah, exactly.
You should donate it to the museum because it's exactly where it should be. Okay, on to question of the day. Every Friday at the @MotherKnowsDeath Instagram account, we put a little question box up in the story that's up for a full 24 hours so you guys can ask whatever questions you want. First, what happens to a person's belongings if they die at the hospital?
Oh, that's a good question. So we would get... If the family's there, the family will take everything with them, obviously, before they leave the hospital.
But what if they're not there?
But if they're not there and they don't ever show up, there's been times where the body comes down to the morgue and there's a bag with their stuff in it. And sometimes they come down and they like have really valuable stuff, like a necklace on or like a ring or something. I hate that so bad because I always call the funeral, I would call the funeral director and say like, hey, I have this diamond engagement ring. And when you come pick up the body, I'm handing it to you. Like how do you just stick that in like a bag and hope it gets there? I think it leaves a lot of room for things to happen. You know what I mean? But that didn't happen too commonly.
So for example, like if somebody has a piercing in their face or something, do they have to be removed of everything like that when they're getting an autopsy? Like, would you take that out?
I wouldn't take that out. Unless I only would touch stuff that's in my way. Like,
but they take off like rings, necklaces.
I just take off the ring because
you don't want it to get lost.
I don't want it to get lost. And I do, you know, by the time you're done doing the autopsy, there's blood and then I will rinse them down afterwards. I don't know if it's like secure on the finger or not. It's just when you see a diamond ring on a woman, especially, you're just like, this is important. It's either a wedding ring. It could be a family heirloom or something. Like, you just don't want it. There to be any question as to what happened with it. You know what I mean?
So then if their family's not at the hospital when they die and they come down, then the stuff stays with them until somebody gets it or the funeral home takes it?
Yeah, like I would just put the bag aside and do the autopsy and then put the body back in the body bag and then put the bag of the belongings, like tie it to the body bag or something. Just, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just so it was like all together and it had their stickers on it with their name and everything like that.
Yeah.
It just didn't really happen that often, to be honest with you. Like,
yeah, I just,
that we would, but sometimes it'd be clothes or something, but that's just really rare that would happen.
Yeah. Cause sometimes, you know, like you live alone in a city where your family might not live and you go to the ER and then something horrible happens and then it might take them a day or two or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
So that's definitely really interesting. Okay. How long does it take to get a death certificate?
That depends. So Like I say all the time, I only worked in hospitals in New Jersey and Pennsylvania, so I only really know the rules for those two states. But really, if the person dies in a hospital, you should get the death certificate right away, because we're not even allowed, the funeral home can't even take the body without the death certificate from the hospital anyway. So that should be available right away. And we do fill out like the cause of death as far as we know. And then if the autopsy changes, that could be changed on the death certificate. But that has to be at the hospital. Now, I don't know how it works at the medical examiner's office because I never released bodies there. I know there's times that they put pending because they don't, like Lisa Marie Presley or whatever. They always they do the autopsy and then they're waiting for further studies. They want to look at things under the microscope or they want to look at toxicology, and that could take longer. But I believe that that's something that you should still get rather quickly, because I think that that has to do with a person's funeral, like they have to have it. But that might be something better to ask a funeral director, as far as I believe that you have to have the death certificate in order to bury a person or to cremate them. But interesting. I'm not 100% sure.
Okay, Les, what's something on your bucket list?
On my bucket list? Like what, trips or something?
Just something you want to do before you die.
I mean, I want to go to Egypt, which is not looking good for a long time. Yeah, I really want to go to Egypt, or anywhere, just anywhere outside of the United States, do anything. There's just lots of stuff I want to do. I don't know, travel, really, I guess I would say.
Yeah, I really like to go to England or Italy. Actually, one of my goals this year is my whole life wanted to go to a New York Fashion Week runway show. I'm trying to figure out how I could go in the fall this year. It's not looking good for me, but I just
show up and act like you should be there or something.
I've loved fashion since I was a little girl, and it's just something I would just like to do, to say I did.
Yeah, I'd be into that too. I think that would be fun.
All right, we should go in September then.
What are we just going to show up?
There's websites you could try to sign up for, but I don't know. I'm going to put it out in the universe and hopefully it comes true, because I've tried to. You know, I probably could have gone when I interned in New York a couple years ago, but I didn't go into the fall. I was in the summer, so I was between fashion weeks. So I'm a little mad at myself for that, because if I would have went one more semester, I probably could have did the whole circuit. Yeah, I remember making the schedule for my boss, but I didn't get to go to it. So that sucked, but I'm going to put it in the universe and see what happens. So I think that would be cool. We should try to do it together this year.
Yeah, that would be fun.
Okay, guys. Well, thank you so much. We will see you next week.
See ya.
Thank you for listening to Mother Knows Death. As a reminder, my training is as a pathologist assistant. I have a master's level education and specialize in anatomy and pathology education. I am not a doctor, and I have not diagnosed or treated anyone, dead or alive, without the assistance of a licensed medical doctor. This show, my website, and social media accounts are designed to educate and inform people based on my experience working in pathology so they can make healthier decisions regarding their life and well-being. Always remember that science is changing every day, and the opinions expressed in this episode are based on my knowledge of those subjects at the time of publication. If you are having a medical problem, have a medical question, or are having a medical emergency, please contact your physician or visit an urgent care center, emergency room, or hospital. Please rate, review, and subscribe to Mother Knows Death on Apple, Spotify, YouTube, or anywhere you get podcasts. Thanks.